How long?
Any moment.
The sea breeze shifted the thinning smoke from the burning houses in the ville away from the beach, leaving them all in clear sight.
Shit.
As the chains came off the sailors, the men fell upon the corpses, retrieving their clothes and weapons. Dean and Mildred meandered close by and took position near the roaring fire. Lining the gunwale of the ship, men stood with flintlocks in their hands, uncertain of what was happening on shore. Removing a half-spent clip to insert a full mag, J.B. noted the stubby black barrels of cannons now jutting from the side of the sailing ship. Ryan had played a good turn, but the slavers were getting wise, and the situation was turning bad fast. Summoning up some courage, a large, bald slaver walked from the crowd and directly addressed Ryan.
Sir, are you sick, men of the Lord Baron?
Yes.
Then where are your tattoos of rank?
Well...
Ah!
With blinding speed, Ryan opened fire. Crying out in surprise, three Cold Hearts dropped to the ground wounded. The fourth staggered, but managed to discharge his muzzle-loading pistol. Even as he fired back, killing the man, Ryan felt an angry buzz by his ear, and then a hot trickle. He touched the side of his head, and the palm came away red.
Fire blast!
Instantly, the rest of the companions cut loose at their chosen targets, and a score of slavers fell, gushing blood. Screaming in rage, the half-naked sailors joined the fray, firing blasters with remarkable speed. More slavers fell, their numbers reduced to a few dozen. Then the sailors charged at their captors with drawn knives and hot branding irons. Every remaining flintlock discharged, blowing clouds of dark gray smoke over the combatants, the screams of pain and yells of rage mixing into the muted roar of battle. In seconds, the battle went hand to hand, and the companions could no longer find easy targets.
Hot pipe!
Trying to run into the forest, a Cold Heart raced directly into the reach of the raped young women. He was twice their size and armed, but all 10 of the teens leaped upon the man in bestial rage, clawing at his face with their nails.
Oh God! Help me! Help me!
Ryan killed another two, then switched to the Steyr. He was out of loaded ammo clips for the hand blaster. Blood was everywhere, the black smoke of discharged weapons mixing with the smoke of the burning houses in the ville until visibility was reduced to mere feet. Trying to listen for the sounds of the surf, Ryan moved for the beach. Unless these villagers were fools, they would start for the ship any time now, and he planned to be there waiting for them. Smashing a man in the face with his lama, Doc tried to fire and found a sticky red wad of hair caught on the hammer. Holstering the piece, he unsheathed his sword and lunged at a man, stabbing him through the neck. The man was motionless from the pain, unable to use the weapon in his hand. As Doc savagely pulled the blade loose, he twisted the handle, forcing the wound to widen. The slaver dropped, his hand clutching at the mortal wound, trying to staunch the crimson flow of life with dirty fingers.
Fire! Fire!
Reaching the shoreline, Ryan saw the men on the ship scurrying about madly. A flintlock fired, and the anchor chain suddenly rattled through a hole in the gunwale, sinking into the sea.
Bosun Jones, look! They're trying to steal the ship!
What? We'll be trapped here forever!
A burly man grabbed a leather pouch of black powder from the belt of a corpse and reloaded a flintlock pistol. He fired at the ship, but the mini-ball only hit the wooden side, doing no appreciable damage.
It's too far! Bones of God, who's got a fucking long blaster?
Ryan stepped forward, walking around a pile of corpses.
What do you mean, trapped? Isn't there any other way off this island?
Hell's bells, no. Why do you think they wanted the Connie so bad?
Fire blast. Where are their boats?
Ryan dropped a spent clip and shoved it into a pocket. He pulled a fresh magazine from the pouch at his belt and slipped it into the handle of the sleek blaster.
On the ship, sick man.
I meant the boats of the ville.
Over there.
The bosun pointed at a clump of weeds on the shore of a small inlet. Whistling, Ryan raced in the inlet's direction with the rest of the companions, except Doc, following close behind. Reaching the reeds, they found a crude dock made of stones simply piled on top of one another, without mortar or any other filler. But floating in the still water were two long dugout canoes, lashed together with stout bamboo poles into a single vessel.
An outrigger.
They climbed on board. Ryan shoved the craft away from the dock.
Row!
Oars bending and threatening to break, the companions put their backs into the task, and the nimble craft leaped forward over the crashing waves toward the constellation. A wave crashed over the outrigger, almost swamping the boat, but they leaned against the swell and stayed afloat. Looming before them, the constellation rose from the sea like a wooden cliff, imposing and indestructible. On the shore, the fighting had slowed to a few scattered gunshots and the steady thumping of an axe slamming into meat. Then Doc appeared from among the fighters, his gory sword stabbing here and slashing there. In the crow's nest, a villager looked down in shock at the approaching outrigger and reached for the rope attached to a warning bell. Rocking against the waves, Ryan fired the Stire, and the man fell backward with most of his face gone.
JB, keep these stoops off us for a minute.
Ryan rowed with one hand, the other holding the Sig Sauer and blowing flame at the men on the deck.
Right.
The armorer released his oar, pulled a large grin from his munitions bag, and began to unwrap the tape around the old-fashioned lever handle.
Fire blast. That the reload?
Ryan pulled the top of the Sig Sauer along his pant leg to jack the slide and clear a jam. There was more ammo for the Stire in his backpack, but only a few loose rounds for the long blaster in his pocket, with no time for reloading the magazine.
Yep.
The Gren was an old World War II model called a pineapple. Normally, the 2-pound Gren was filled with gunpowder, but that had lost its ginger over the decades and wouldn't explode anymore. So JB had replaced the dead gunpowder with C4 plastics. Problem was, the old-style Gren held 6 times more plas than a modern lightweight Gren, and nobody could throw it far enough to survive the explosion. JB had been saving the bomb for a special job, and this was it.
Now!
In a lofting arch, JB threw the Gren over the gunwale. A strident fireball erupted, blowing pieces of deck and bodies into the sky. A dozen men fell from the rigging, plummeting to the deck with horrible thumps.
Head for the bow! Stay away from the bastard's sides! Those cannon will cut us into mincemeat!
Another face appeared over the gunwale and aimed a crossbow at them. Releasing her oar, Mildred triggered the shotgun. The man went flying out of sight, the iron quarrel slamming into the deck of the outrigger, missing Christy by a scant inch.
Thanks, Mildred.
No prob.
Reaching the side of the vessel, Ryan grabbed the muzzle of the cannon and hauled himself off the outrigger canoe. As he peeked inside the ship, he saw the gunners jerk in reaction to his presence and claw for weapons. The Sig Sauer coughed a song of death, and the slavers dropped where they stood. Bracing his shoulder against the side of the ship, Ryan grabbed the cannon with his free hand and started to push. It took all of his strength, but the cast-iron weapon slowly moved along its recoil track until there was enough space for him to wiggle through and enter the gun room. A match flared from the dark end of the room. Ryan dropped and rolled as flintlocks boomed and mini-balls loudly ricocheted off the iron cannon. From within a pool of darkness, he waited for his eye to adjust to the low light, then backtracked the muskets and emptied half the clip. Grunts announced lethal hits, then he spun about, firing twice more in the opposite direction. Standing in a stairwell, a fat man struggling to load a musket dropped the weapon in surprise as a 9mm round only nicked his arm.
Shit!
Shifting position, Ryan dropped the spent clip and slapped in a fresh mag, while the Cold Heart raced to ram the cloth wad down the barrel of his blaster and finish the reloading process. Both men clicked back hammers at the same time and fired. Ryan proved the better marksman. Quickly making sure the rest of the cannon deck was clear, he tossed some rope out the cannon hole.
Come on, people!
He stood guard while the rest of the companions climbed inside. Moving up the stairwell, they found only pieces of men, gore trickling down the steps, leaving a grisly trail.
Good job, Ryan.
Reaching the main deck, the companions paused, listening for any voices, then charged out and spread apart as they searched for cover. The entire deck was smashed, pieces of planks jutting wildly from the tremendous explosion. Small fires burned here and there, and in the deck was a gaping hole large enough to drop a tank through. Teeth and slick stains told of several kills. A wounded man sat with his back to the mast, a belt tied tight around the oozing stump of his left leg.
You fucking shitters!
The man fired both of the flintlocks in his hands. Even before the smoke of the double discharge cleared, he tossed the weapons aside and drew another set from his belt, clicking back the spring-driven hammers.
Kill you all!
J.B. threw his hat at the man, and as he shifted the aim of his weapons, Ryan fired.
Fuck!
The slaver slammed backward against the mast, cracking his head. Slumped over, blood dribbling from his slack mouth, the man struggled to raise the blasters once more.
Kill who?
You fuck!
Right.
Staying low, the companions studied the ship from their safe locations. Nobody else was in sight, on the deck or in the rigging above. The bow was piled with rope, and the quarterdeck was a full story above the main deck. The steering wheel would be on top, the captain's cabin and chart room underneath. Rocking to the motion of the sea, the huge ship creaked gently as the evening tide carried it farther and farther away from the island.
Not like. Too easy.
Agreed. JB, Mildred, check the bunk room for survivors. Christy and Dean take the hold. Make sure they haven't done anything to sink the ship. Jack, with me.
Ryan started sprinting along the long deck of the battered vessel. Everybody moved with purpose. Staying alert, Ryan and Jack headed for the quarterdeck, using as cover one of the low turnstiles that rotated to lift the heavy anchor chains. Going to the door of the cabin, Ryan covered the teen as he stayed flat against the wall and pushed at the door. It swung open on oily hinges. Diving inside, Ryan hit the floor and saw that the room was empty. The bed was a blood-stained mess, the table smashed, the honeycomb of holes that formed the chart locker empty. Every map was gone. Exiting the cabin, Jack assumed guard, while Ryan walked past the companionway that led to the top of the quarterdeck. Ryan hit the deck and rolled to safety away from the steps. Masked by the shadow of the mainsail, Jack tilted his head and gave Ryan a nod. He'd expected an ambush, yet that was no flintlock, but a pre-dark revolver. Rushing the man between reloads wouldn't work this time.
Wanna try again, slave? Lots more where that came from. You got any more of them bombs?
Don't need any more. You're the last man alive.
Bullshit! Every star in the Ville is with their baron. You couldn't have chilled 60 that fast. Ain't possible!
Then call for help, Baron. Go ahead. Do it.
Shitfire. Okay, let's cut a deal.
A revolver hit the wood planks, skittering along to drop down the hole in the deck.
I'm unarmed, but move slow, or we all go to hell.
In the shadows, Jack asked a silent question, and Ryan grimaced. Unfortunately, it didn't sound like bravado. The local baron had seized a fully armed gunship and taken its crew prisoner. He was no fool. The man had something in his favor, and Ryan could guess what it was. The tip of the Sig Sauer blaster leading the way, Ryan proceeded up the stairs until reaching the top deck. Standing behind the wheel was a big man, bleeding profusely from the cheek, his jawline stitched with tiny splinters. He was dressed in roll-top boots marred by fire, torn pants, and a gore-stained shirt. An empty bandolier was draped across his chest, a MAC-10 machine pistol hanging over a shoulder. One hairy-knuckled hand was lashed to the tiller, the other held a sputtering torch above an open barrel full of dark, grainy material.
This is black powder, son. Got a fuse in its belly, leading down to the powder room. One touch of this torch, and the ocean gets a new hole in it. Follow?
Understood. You got a name?
Baron Tuchalka. You?
Ryan. Looks like we got a standoff here. You don't want us to leave, and we can't let you stay.
Fuck that. Get off my ship.
No.
Ryan swung the Sig Sauer toward the man. Another wave hit the ship as Tuchalka lowered the torch toward the open keg.
I'll give you 3 to drop the blaster. Then I'll...
Ryan fired before the man could finish the threat. The pitch torch flew from his grip and hit the gunwale, going over the side, but some of the burning resin had been knocked loose by the impact of the bullet, and glowing sparks floated toward the black powder.
Ah, fuck, fuck, fuck!
Backing away in terror, Tuchalka fought to free his bound hand, and Ryan could only stare as the burning pitch fell through the air, tumbling and turning. The first glowing droplet of pitch winked out before landing in the explosives, but the second hit the edge of the keg and teetered. Ryan fired. The shot blew away a fist-sized chunk of the keg, which skittered across the deck for yards. Ryan felt his muscles relax as the danger passed. Bound to the wheel, Tuchalka was still tearing at the rope around his wrist. Ryan stood and leveled the pistol at the fat man.
No, wait! I know something important about this boat.
Ship.
The body slumped over the wheel, the weight dragging the spoked rim clockwise. Obediently, the Constellation started heading to the right, straight for the breakers.
Fire blast!
Ryan grabbed the huge mechanism with both hands, fighting to correct their course backward. The ship didn't respond, and they continued straight for the deadly pink coral. The irregular surface glistened in the salty spray like a wall of daggers. Suddenly, Jack was alongside Ryan and slashed with a knife. The dead Baron slipped from the cut ropes and rolled over the side, splashing into the briny deep.
Take the left side, Jack!
The teen did, and the two struggled to try to regain control of the mammoth runaway. The wheel moved as if the Baron were still attached. Every direction they pushed in, pushed right back.
We're fighting the sails! Not gonna make it!
Idea!
Reaching out with a leg, Jack hooked the top of the black powder barrel and dragged it close. Shoving it under the grips, the teenager jammed the wooden handhold tight on the weakened wood and let go his grip.
Get the others!
He jumped down the companionway, landing heavily on the deck below. Christy appeared from a hatchway in the damaged deck.
Hey! Nobody else on board. She's all clear.